and welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters, day 302. Be 600 before you know it, telling you. Hello, and how is everybody? Hello, Jonathan.
See you later.
That was hello, that goodbye.
I want a dog waiting for a walk.
She's been waiting for a walk while we were eating. She's not a happy hound.
She walk.
We needed a snack. We hadn't had lunch. Oh, yes, Jonathan, you were indeed number one. I love the way you've worked up to that, just to get in there first. Hello, Sarah. How are you doing? I'm going to refresh this, because every other day it's missed off things. So just in case it has, I'll do it again. Ooh, Sarah's been doing shopping. Oh, no. Needed hand weights. Oh, exercising in the morning. And the 2.5 kilos is a bit too heavy. That's about 2.4, about, is that 5.5 pounds? Something like that. Yeah, I don't do mornings, so it would definitely be too much for me. They're expensive, are they? The ones I saw, didn't Davina do some? I can't be doing with that woman, to be honest. The way she bangs on about fitness and health. And she spent 10 years telling us how it was very important that she was fit and healthy and looked good for her lovely husband, who she loved to pieces, who walked out and left her. So that was really worthwhile, wasn't it? Might as well have sat down and eaten the chocolates. Oh, she's giddy. Listen to her. Listen to her. Who we got? Hello, Paul. How is it down under? Got to be better than it is here. Saw some pictures at the weekend of our friends on the Perth side of the country. They're on holiday. And the weather just was indescribably fabulous. They were all there in their swimming costumes and stuff. And we're here wrapped up in blankets. It's freezing. It's absolutely freezing. Hurry up, Daddy. That's dog for hurry up, Daddy. The minute you see it's open, you need to get something in. Can't be faffing around making sure it's words. Jonathan, pro tip. How about you put something in Typinator? Or it's on your clipboard ready. There you go. You could put in an entire eulogy from your clipboard. Hello, Kim. How is life treating you? How's your iPad? Is it settling in? And de-COVIDing nicely. CQ, Deb, CQ. We did get something. Oh, yes, that was it. It was comical. Mike said, there's a letter for you from the bank. It's only been here a day, but it looks like a credit card bill. I said, it will be a credit card bill. So Mike said, but there isn't a credit card bill due. I said, no, there isn't normally a credit card bill due. But I used to buy vouchers, iTunes vouchers, when we could leave the house. Yeah, memory just about stretches back that far. And I can't get any online that are reduced. So I might as well put a credit card on the account. So there was a credit card on the account, to be honest. It was the one that I used to buy things. And obviously we bought IMAX not that long ago. So this credit card bill had arrived. So he's put it in the COVID cave for me. So I'll see it probably about 5 minutes before it's due to be paid. Jonathan hates credit card bills. Worst kind of post. That's actually true. The nice stuff that I'm tempted to open, we've got two letters from Dogs Trust. And one of them is from the dog that we sponsor, and I'm desperate to open that one. No, the credit card bill, yeah, that can wait a bit. I said to Mike, it's not a panic, doesn't need paying before the end of January. And I've got the tax to think about way before the end of January. So January can go crawl off somewhere. I don't like January. Well, it's freezing cold. I don't mind it cool, but there's freezing cold and you must be joking. And somehow, probably it's me. I'm trying to put new things in place and everything's breaking around me. How are you doing with PowerPoint, Jonathan? Let me know. Hello, Pete. You had your jab yet? I've told them you can have mine. I'm being completely selfless with that. Oh, they had the mass vaccination centres on the other day, and I broke out into a cold sweat just looking at it. Oh, yes, we're all enthusiastic, but it's the new year and it's like, when's it going to be over? Is it ever going to be over? And why is the Prime Minister on a bike ride 7 miles from his house? No wonder they had to let those women off with the fine. I won't tell you what I would have done to them, but it would have been illegal. Do we still have snow? Not at the moment, but it's cold enough for snow. Actually, it's not. It's about 5 degrees here at the moment, which is quite warm, isn't it? I think there's snow on the way, or somebody said there was snow on the way. Let me have a look. Let's see what we've got planned weather-wise. What's that? Let's put my glasses on. There's something dribbling down the weather app. So it's looking like it could be rain at the moment. Rain. Heavy rain. And he's just decided to take the dog out. So for 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, midnight, 1, 2 and 3, 100% chance of rain. Pretty much that's the week. A little bit of sunshine tomorrow, but it'll be minus one. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday and next Wednesday, rain. So normal service has been resumed in the UK. No snow on the horizon, I'm afraid. I could do with moving somewhere where there's a lot of snow. I'd enjoy that. No jabs for Pete yet. Honestly, Pete, this is ridiculous. The people I've seen having jabs and you're thinking, why are they bothering? Give it Pete. You're top of my list. There you go. I'd let you have it first, Pete. I'm wondering about, who was it? Which one was it? One of the medics that's been all over the TV, the top chaps, you know, never seen a patient for 20 years, but they wear a nice suit. And he was having the jab and he was something to do with, he'd worked on the Oxford project. And I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, if you're fit enough to be on the TV telling the rest of us what to do, why do you need a jab before people on the front line? Didn't get an answer to that one. Jonathan's yet to find the time to actually make slides in PowerPoint. Next presentation is next week. So find some time this week. See if I can really put into action the tips. Well, you should be OK, Jonathan. But I've been pushing it a little bit further. And managed to break the Mac version. It's all right. I've got a dirty hack to fix it. Don't panic. It's just, I've never seen a tutorial that explains this bit. And I remember when the last version of Office I used on Windows was 2007. And I remember it coming in and themes came in with it. And I'm like, how do I make these theme things work? These look awesome. And I didn't really bother in the end because I moved to a Mac and that was the end of that. Went over to Keynote. And I've been working on the theme part of it and it was working okay until I got to the detail where it's like, where did that just go? And something vanished. So I said to Mike, right, it's time. I need to get the Windows box out. And I fixed it. So I could show you that, couldn't I? Or put a blog post together. Because it's the one thing I've never seen anybody discuss in any great detail. And this is the kind of detail you need. I've seen, you know, like, go to YouTube and look up Slide Masters and get back 15,000 videos. And everyone, without exception, is, this is the Slide Master. You can put things on it. Bye. And I'm like, yeah, but what about the advanced bit? And no one's covered it. But I've cracked it. So I could cover that. There you go. Ooh, tech compatible gloves. Yeah, medical or snow gloves. they're probably cross-purpose these days, I would have thought. Ooh, thermal wrap, lightweight, anti-slip, touchscreen. Oh, these sound fabulous. Let me get that link and have a look at them. I think I got no, they weren't as snazzy as that. Basically, it had one finger that had like a rubber end on it. I think that was the total of my, you see, they're snazzy. Oh, yes. Yes, if I ever leave the house again, they'll be useful. Yes, mine was like the others, where there's basically a cutout for your finger. Oh, no, that looks nice. I don't think I'll ever leave the house again, but we'll see. Certainly not for one of these mass vaccination centres. I just saw it as like a mass virus acquisition centre for me. But they said things like, and this to me was ludicrous, we've got lots of seats in the waiting room and they're all like 2 metres apart. And then when the doctor calls somebody in, I'm thinking, yeah, chances of it being a doctor, slim to non-existent, because, you know, it'll be a Sun reader who's just volunteered and rocked up. You know, usually they're a park digger or something. And then everybody moves up in the seats. And I thought, wouldn't you be safer if you just went in, sat in one seat and then went in when you were called? Instead of moving, why don't they move to you rather than you move to them? But they're wiping the seats down in between times. I'm thinking, do you know, every single thing I've heard in the last week has made me think, do you know what? After you. I'll have it right at the end where I can get somebody who is actually qualified to give injections and have them 3 weeks apart. So book me in for 2023. Oh, and they're also good for climbing, are they? Oh, amazing. They do look fantastic, actually. I guess the finger thing would work. But we're all a bit knackered at the moment, aren't we, with stuff like that? The fingerprint ID wouldn't work. And if you're wearing a mask, neither would that. So you're never getting in. You'd have to use it to put your number in. Apple really should have sorted that. I wish they had done something clever with that, like Irish recognition. That'd be cool. They're probably teaching the janitor to give the shots by now. Kim, I believe you. And that's who I would get. I guarantee it. I would get the complete idiot. Total idiot. I mean, they're acting as though, like, this is nothing. And to me, a vaccine is never nothing. I know it's probably because I've worked on vaccine cases that went hideously wrong. The pertussis thing, German measles, the outcome was catastrophic. But that just proves the point that, I mean, they're saying they're vaccinating people at the rate of, I think it was 4 a minute. And I'm thinking, is anybody asking about our medical history here? And not like, oh, yes, I'm on warfarin for my heart and all of that. Things like allergies and contraindications. I bet I could go in one of these centres, obviously in some kind of spacesuit, and say, do you know what the contraindications to this are? And know what are contraindications? Would be the answer, I'm telling you. The idiot would probably be, no, Pete, no, you've surely given injections before. I'd get the newbie. I'd get the one that took 37 attempts to do it. I mean, that's going to put me off, isn't it? Last time I had an injection, there you go, 37 attempts. The girl was there 90 minutes and she was in an absolute state. She was worse than me. I was quite laid back, to be honest, because I was expecting it. But she was in a right state. She said, I'm never going to live this down. And I said, what do you mean live it down? And she said, when her, I don't know what the term is, she was a junior doctor, so the next one up, or her consultant, when he finds out about it, I'm never going to live it down. I said, well, I'm not telling him. So if you don't, we're good. But she was in a bit of a state. Everyone gets screened for allergies, not many contraindications, to be honest. I'll believe you, Pete, you see, but I wouldn't believe them. That's the point. I just think it's too much. At the moment, they're at that point where everyone is so desperate to get this vaccine, they'd probably let you cut the leg off to do it. People really are that stupid. I'll leave it a bit until we see how everybody else goes and that we're looking at this in a more sensible light. There's a happy medium, and at the moment, it's just like gay abandon as far as I'm concerned. People are going in like, oh yeah, I've got all the contraindications, but I want it anyway. I want it anyway. The people are the problem. Everybody else is the problem. I've turned the news off. Once I'd seen the inside of this vaccination centre 3 times. You know how scared people are of dentists? That's me with anything medical. Yeah. So even seeing a picture of it and breaking out in hives. So I would much rather wait. Do you think, Pete, it will ever get to a point where you can actually pay privately? Because I just think, like, going in the dentist, I'm fine. Because you walk in and it doesn't look like my idea of hell. But I go into the doctor's and 2 minutes, in fact, 2 seconds, I'm through the door. The wall is, I mean, apart from the fact it looks like something out of the 70s, the wall is covered with, like, have you got this? Have you got that? Have you been tested? And I'm like, I'm going to have to wait outside. But I go in the dentist and it's nice. It's pleasant. It's somewhere you could go in and have a coffee. So I want somewhere like that. Not one of these centres that's full of ill people. Or people that desperate to get the vaccine, you'd get killed in the crush. Do you think we'll ever get to that point? Because less people. Maybe that's the point. Less people. And Kim would probably say, make sure you go in the morning. When the seats have been cleaned. Talking about using stadiums, you and Mike could potentially get yours Old Trafford. I'm not sure I want the memory of having the vaccine mingled with the good memories of Old Trafford. Oh, could go to the Etihad instead, couldn't I? Yeah, that's an idea. Go to City's ground. That they're newer, actually. First patient is best slot. True. Would make a charge for them and have a couple of shots on target in 90 minutes. True. I took that sage advice when I booked my dental appointment that I won't be going to because it's like 4 weeks away. And I'm not leaving the house. But I'll book the early one next time. But the chair thing's ridiculous. The chair thing is just utterly ridiculous. And they'd look at you if you took your own chair. If you took a little pop-up stool, they'd look at you like you were barking mad. And I'm thinking, moving people around, not a good idea. Like schools. When they got the schools open again, and I always wondered this when I was at school, the way it worked when I was at school, everybody had a form room. So that was like home base. And there was 1 year we got the drama room. Now, I'll admit, you can't really learn French in the drama room because you've got no desks. But generally speaking, everybody's form room, their home room, had tables and chairs in it and civilised. Why, when the kids went back, did the kids move from room to room for each lesson and not the teachers? Because that would have made far more sense. Unless a lesson is like PE, drama, or cookery, or some such, chemistry maybe, why move the kids? You know, we're doing English. Now we've got to move 500 yards that way because we're doing French. And next we're doing geography and we've got to go over to the other building to do that. Seems nonsensical. But now the schools are shut, so it doesn't matter anyway. We've now got wall-to-wall children's education programmes on the BBC all day. Thankfully, don't have a telly, so I'm not bothered. Hello, Anthony. They could combine the darts championship with the vaccine administration. Do you know, I trust a darts player more than somebody who would volunteer. If they're like a vet, like Pete said, or a nurse, or a retired nurse, fine. Because at least they know one end of a needle from the other. But your average sun reader? Really? I mean, the sun is like the bottom wiping version of the National Enquirer with knobs on. And they had, I don't want to say journalist, they had a girl from the Sun. She looked like she was 12 and sounded like she was 6, who managed to back Hancock into a corner over the Sun vaccine army. I'm air quoting here. Trying to get them to endorse it, basically. So I think it wasn't Chris Whitty. It could have been Patrick Vallance. One of the doctors in the fancy suits doesn't never seen a patient. Those ones. He basically gave his support for it and said more volunteers the better. And I'm thinking, OK, you're off my Christmas card list. And then they went back to Matt Hancock. I can't do his reaction justice. It really needs to be seen. But it was like the most pathetic rah-rah of the Sun's army that you could get. So if you do get a chance to see the very end of the press conference where they're taking questions, don't miss that bit. It was like, yeah, 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 rah, 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 the Sun. And I'm looking at him thinking, OK, not only off Christmas list, can we have that one committed? Ah, Sarah saw it. Good night, Jonathan. It was just the way he did it. You know, like politicians are so uncool. It was uncool and pathetic at the same time. Every question she asked was just ridiculous, wasn't it? It was, the questions were intended not to elicit information. They were intended so they've got, I guarantee tomorrow on the Sun, it'll be Hancock endorses the Sun army. Honestly, that's what it'll say. She did womankind no favours looking like that and acting like that. She honestly had the voice of a 6-year-old. And I thought, how, you know, I know people are getting younger these days in work, but seriously? And then you see some other journalists and they're asking intelligent questions. Nobody gets an answer, obviously. But, you know, I'll give you a brownie point for asking an intelligent question. Not just promoting your own scheme, which is ridiculous. utterly ridiculous. You could have child molesters volunteering for this. And are they screened? Because that's just more work. They could be anything. Oh, no, 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 no. And then Pete says I could get Pete. Pete, I'd be honoured to get Pete. I just don't want, I don't want anybody that's in the remotest. Oh, no, no. Medics are bad enough because some of them can get a bit gung-ho. You know, like just not taking into account how people feel. I think the majority of dentists have twigged at last that not many people enjoy going to the dentist. But doctors seem to think in a way that, like, well, no one's scared of the doctors. I'm not scared. I know too much to deem it wise to visit one, unless I'm on death's door. That's where I'm at. But no doctors seem to appreciate that. They just think you're barking. I'm not barking, I'm a pain. Just know too much. Know too much to think it was a good idea. Hello, Tracy. When are people going to understand that we don't need more rules? We just need to stay at home. It's our responsibility as well. I wish I knew, Sarah. I wish I knew. But, I mean, those two women that they've let off the fines, it wasn't particularly what they were doing. It's the fact that if you don't stop people travelling that far from home, everybody thinks it's OK, as was proved at the weekend. That was last Thursday, and at the weekend there's pictures of hundreds of people going walking. And like I said, if this was normal times, they wouldn't be heading off up the hills in the middle of January for a quick trot. You must be kidding. No, you know where they'd be? Shopping. They'd be at a shopping centre. So they only want to go for a walk because they can't get their fix of shopping centres. People love to come and see Pete. He's got all the best drugs. Hey, sometimes, Pete, you go visit them in your helicopter. Oh, no, see, that's definitely worth a visit. Ooh, if I won the lottery, could that happen? Could you just fly up here? I mean, not that you'd park in the back garden. It's a bit small. If you had a mini helicopter, you could. Oh, one of those things that we looked at earlier in the year. The vest rocket things. Yeah, that'd do. Oh, that'd be amazing. Just think of that. How fabulous would that be? That'd get the neighbours talking. Oh, Kim got her allergy shot today and asked if he was going to be given the vaccine. Sadie said no. He does such good shots. You see, they're not all equal either, are they? When I had that sister give me one, she was in charge of the ward and she'd been there. I think they built the hospital round her. It was agonising. And yet other times you hardly feel it. Even the 37 times I was stabbed the last time I was in, it wasn't as painful as that first time with her. Oh, no. So, you know, this is what I'm saying about volunteers. They haven't got a clue about, well, there was something in the local, I think it was a local paper, because it was to do with Trafford. Now, bear in mind, Trafford is an area of Greater Manchester. Greater Manchester being, well, you know where that is on a map, don't you? No, Shropshire. Shropshire, miles away. Miles and miles away. At least 40 to 50, if not 70 miles away. I don't exactly know how far away it is, but you know what? It's a long way away. And somebody there got a letter saying that they'd been allocated a slot. You know, ring up, get your slot for the vaccine. At the Manchester Centre. And they were incensed. And I think somebody in Birmingham, in Coventry, got one to go to Birmingham, and she actually rang 10 Downing Street and they hung up on her. Anyway, the ones in Shropshire complained, saying it's a long way to go to Greater Manchester, and I presume when the rest of the story came out, Trafford, to get their injection. So let me have a look how far Shropshire is. Shropshire. Right, where are we? Oh, it's quite a way. Yes, I've been down there. It took us 2 hours when we went. So the lowest bit is way, way closer to Bristol than it is Manchester, I can assure you. So we're talking it's between Wales and Birmingham. But looking at that, can we get miles from Shropshire? Should we go for the centre of it? Right, let's work that out. Let's put Trafford as well, which isn't quite as far. Distance, right. 72 miles. So they're being sent 72 miles to have their injections in Trafford, and they are up in arms, which is ludicrous. I totally agree with them. At the same time, when they started complaining, Shropshire Council got in touch with Trafford Council to find out that Trafford Council were inundated with complaints because many people in their area, in their 80s, have been sent to Shropshire. These people don't drive. There's barely any public transport. What are they thinking? So if they're making that kind of mistake, balls up, snafu, call it what you like, with that, I can only imagine what kind of vetting would go on with the people they're thinking of letting loose with the drug. I mean, we've had Beverly Allerts and we've had Harold Shipmans. They're going to be chomping at the bit to get to this. I can imagine them emptying the vials and putting water in and giving you that. I can, honestly. House calls with ketamine, what's not to love? Exactly. Yeah, works for me. That's how it should be. I see, the difference here is, Pete, I don't go running to the hospital if I get a splinter. I'd struggle to go if I'd lost a leg. So I'm not a drain on the NHS. I can't get out fast enough. And when you think at the beginning of this pandemic, it was like, A&E's empty. Why is nobody cutting their fingers off anymore? Who is normally at A&E? It does make you wonder. You've got to admit. Oh. So Anthony says, from what he understands, you don't have to go to these mass centres. You can wait until your GP sends for you. You're going to wait for your GP. I think that's wise. These centres, there's going to be problems. Trust me, there's going to be problems. That was one of the more sensible questions today to the health secretary. Not that he answered it, obviously. But it was how many people are getting infected on their way there or while they're there. Now, it's probably too soon to say. I mean, open 2 days, give them a chance. But just like in Australia, where they were coming into Melbourne, I think, and being sent to hotels, and then the security staff, instead of staying at one hotel, were sent between the hotels. You can imagine what happened next. Outbreaks. So with this, you are sending people out sometimes for the first time. And it's got to happen. It's just a matter of how bad it'll be when it does. But yes, that was the other problem that was being reported to our local council. That these letters were coming out saying, go online or ring 119 to book an appointment. And these people were thinking it was their only chance. And it isn't. You can wait for your GP. I'm wondering where these mass centres are getting the data from to send out the letters. Because if I get one, technically I shouldn't get one. I'm never going to get one. I don't even think I'm going to hear from a GP. I think I'll be the last person on the planet without a vaccination. I'll tell you, it's going to happen. It will. So they were saying that the letter did not say, or you can choose to wait and have it from your GP. So it's already a carve up. It'll only get worse before it gets better. It'll be from the NHS England. Because the other thing is, and I can't understand that, people are falling for a con where somebody basically knocks on the door and says, it's time for your vaccine and give me £160. I would have thought that, I mean, it's always been said it will be free and that you shouldn't have people knocking on your door and offering to inject you. But the thing is, not only are they making off with £160, they are injecting them with something. And we don't know what, but it's certainly not the vaccine. I can't imagine anybody falling for it, and yet people have. So, I mean, just the fact somebody's knocked on the door. That's why we have CCTV. If I don't like the look of you, I'm not opening the door. In fact, even if you're the Amazon man, I'll probably shout through the camera to leave it where it is and take 3 steps back. But these people are actually opening the door. And I mean, that's one, they've been conned with the money. Two, they'll feel idiots having done it. But three, they could catch COVID from the idiot knocking on the door. Oh, people, honestly. Kim doesn't want to go to a mass injection centre. Neither do I, Kim. I could be sick just looking at them. And when they then said, as it's on the news and I'm backing off, and they said, and then they move up the seats. I did like a triple take and wound it back. And then they said, and they move up the seats. And I thought, Why would you do that? It's a waste of resources cleaning the seats. Plus the fact, you know, what if it didn't work? Have them come in, sit down, inject them, send them home. In fact, sit them on a conveyor belt. Do it that way. But to actually have people moving up the seats as if it's 1962 at your local GP practice is utterly ridiculous. And so you're sending them to stadiums because, you know, it's not like the COVID thing isn't running rife in the football arena, is it? Another 36 cases today. Just saying. So I definitely wouldn't fancy that. I'm with Kim. Rather get one in your car. That's probably one of the safest ways, isn't it? That is probably one of the safest ways. You know, I'd like to see that I wouldn't say it would tempt me, but it would put me off less. A drive-through centre where it's army doctors doing it or the navy, because they know their stuff. They certainly know their stuff better than the average Sun reader, mind you. There's locked up criminals, no more than the Sun readers. Oh, dear. Oh, Anthony says there's a text message going around saying you're eligible for your COVID vaccine. Give us the bank details to confirm your identity. I guess that's more likely, but, you know, you really shouldn't be doing that. I don't think they could make it any clearer. It's in every paper. It's on every news bulletin. I really don't think they could make it any clearer that, you know, don't do that. What's getting me is the people who are getting, what shall we say, angsty, wanting to get to the front of the queue and are prepared to push anybody else out of the way, even though they're only 51. One was in a local Facebook group and it was having a pop at the doctors where we are in Sale, because next door, which is Altrincham, they're vaccinating 70-year-olds. And Sale haven't even finished the 80-year-olds yet. Why is that? And I thought, I haven't got a clue, but what's your rush? So it's a week, it's 2 weeks. What's your problem? If there are people ahead of you in the queue, there are people ahead of you in the queue. What are you suggesting, that we don't vaccinate them and vaccinate you? And that seemed to be the answer. Yes, that's exactly what she wanted. Oh. I do know, but, you know, I'd rather have the injection off either of you than anybody else that I have seen mentioned, trust me. Have I ever had an injection from my own doctor? I don't think she's ever got that close. She touched me once with a stethoscope, but I had a jumper on up to my neck. She had to feed it down, and then I had to hold it against my skin. We don't have any of this touching business. I was COVID-friendly before COVID, me. In fact, if my doctor was within 2 metres of me, you know, an alarm bell would ring. I don't think I've ever had an injection off her. Had some stitches taken out, but basically I left the hospital with those. They wouldn't release me. So I said, well, I'll sign myself out. And they said, we're not taking the stitches out. And I said, that's fine, and me and the stitches will go home then. And it was like, well, nobody will take the stitches out. Now, what they didn't know was, luckily, not a relation. It was my cousin's grandmother. Had been a nurse. So my mum rings this woman. Poor woman. She'd finished as a matron, I think. And she said, how easy is it to take stitches out? And this woman said, pardon. Not a question you get often, is it? So she said, how easy is it to take stitches out? And she says, why are you thinking of putting some in? So she said, no, Elaine's got some and they won't take them out. So she said, oh, well, it's not that difficult, you know, as long as you've got the right equipment, etc. So once I knew that, it was like, that's fine, I'll take them out. Or I'll leave them where they are and we'll call them a decoration. Anyway, it all worked out well in the end. But no, I don't think I've ever had an injection from a doctor. She must be about 85 now. I swear she must. I don't think it'd be her. I think it'd be the practice nurse. You don't know if you trust the army or the navy. Ah, but Pete, would you trust the army and or the navy more than an average Sun reader? Because that's the bar. They've set it pretty low. If you've got a pulse and you don't read the Sun, you are one up on a Sun reader. So would you trust them more than a Sun reader? Now, Kim's had good news. Ooh, the NJM came out this morning saying the Pfizer vaccine will be good against the new strain. At least they've tested it. Excellent. gives us in the mouth, generally very easy to take out. Yeah, you see, now your problem with them in the mouth is trying to find them. I had the dissolvable ones, but there was a couple. Oh, they were like nylon, and they'd got like a knot on the top. And there was a little tiny bit sticking off it like a bow that was really aggravating my cheek. Anyway, he did take those out, but they were all fine. You don't know if the army can read. Oh, no. They may use the sun for other purposes. There you go. Oh, after a brief trip down a black hole, I concluded the Venn diagram of COVID deniers and those who would likely sell their own mother for an ICU bed and they need it is in a circle. When you see that, I mean, the latest thing, let us know if this is happening in the States. The latest thing over here is to go into a hospital, obviously as a visitor, probably through a back door somewhere, and film empty corridors and then put them on social media and say there's no pandemic. One of them had two empty beds as well. Now, it was at the weekend, and I'm sure it wasn't the COVID bit, but you know, if somebody did that, I mean, for a start, where's security? They've got cameras and stuff, surely. But if somebody's prepared to do that, shouldn't it be immediately compulsory to give them a brush and tell them to go clean the toilets? If you're that confident, then go do that. But that apparently is the latest thing. I think everybody knows somebody who's had it, don't they? I mean, we all know Kim's aunt. Was it your aunt? And there was Simon and all the baby Simons. There was our friend Steve Donoghue. I mean, he was serious. He was in a coma for over 3 weeks. He wasn't going to make it, but luckily he did. Mike's mum has had, I think she's been to 3 funerals. One was related to Mike's godparents. So that close. There have been some people, I mean, Paul's son. How can you actually deny it? I don't understand it. Anthony's brother's just come out of hospital. There you go. There's another one. It sounds like something someone would do. Oh, Kim, only because you've got the Trump thing for 2 more weeks, is this probably not happening. But when Biden's in, they've got nothing else to do with their time. I predict it will happen. Drag them into COVID ICU without a mask and tell them to take a lungful. Oh, Pete, that should be compulsory. And then no treatment because it was your own fault. I would ration treatment on that basis. You know, it was your idea to come in here. Now go into that room and just deal with it yourself. Kim knows so many people who've had it. There you go. And Tracy's niece, brother. See what I mean? There's just hundreds. We all know somebody. And without exception, everybody that I know who has had it has said it's debilitating. Mike's old boss has got it at the moment. She left to have a son. She's been trying for more children for years, but she's still only got the one. And Mike said to me about October time, which was probably half term, he said she's been a bit, taking too many risks was what he said. And she was taking the kid out to, you know, Legoland and whatever, because it was open in October, all over the place. And I said, you know, on her own head be it, guess what? Got COVID and now can't breathe. So they actually had to, they spoke, somebody related to her, it wasn't her, but somebody rang 111, which is our, like, not an emergency, but I need some medical advice line. And from what they heard, they were concerned. So they sent an ambulance out, but they didn't have any beds to take her to anyway. So they came in and had a look and said that she had to eat. And if she didn't eat, they'd have to take her in for treatment. So she sat there trying to eat stuff. She said she can't eat because she can barely breathe. So she certainly can't eat. And she's still suffering. I think she's had it over 2 weeks now. I'm loving that. Make them lick the floor of the ICU. Well, one way of cleaning up, isn't it? They won't need treatment for a condition that they don't think exists. What's the problem? Exactly. No issue at all. Send them home. But can you keep them away from me? So Anthony's brother would normally think nothing of doing a 24-mile walk in the Lake District with the dogs, but he was out of breath just going to the bathroom. That's the kind of thing I've heard. One was a guy, I think he'd run a marathon. And there was a woman who'd done like a 5K, a 10K and was working up to it. And she said she can't climb the stairs. And I think we've all probably had a flu where you think, like, I can't move, I can't get out of bed. I think I've only really had one time where I was as bad as that. I've had some sort of bad colds and stuff, but I think you know flu when you've got it. I didn't want to go to sleep because I couldn't breathe. And I thought, I'm not going to wake up. If I lie down, I'm not going to wake up. So I would sleep, sat up, just kind of like doze, so I could breathe the best I could. But that was a bad flu. And you don't feel like running around. But the thing with this is, once the symptoms have gone, the breathing thing still seems to be there, which is debilitating if you're trying to do anything else. So just steer clear of it. So Kim's friend, who was only sick for about 3 days, still gets headaches and joint aches. And that was 6 months ago. That's the long COVID thing, isn't it? Don't ever bother with 111. Only two outcomes. Shall we say mess it up? Necessitating an ambulance or call an ambulance to start with. The only times I've ever had to call an ambulance, one was when I was seriously ill. But that was that long ago, they actually sent an ambulance. Which is unusual, because when I needed it again, no, they don't send an ambulance. Can you get there under your own steam? And the other time was my dad, and I didn't bother with 111. I could see from looking at him he needed an ambulance. And they agreed. The first time they sent out, like, the stroke specialist ambulance, they're not sure whether it was a stroke or not. And the second time it was the one that arrived on the bike first. They have like a motorbike rider, like rent a paramedic, and he gets there first and then evaluates. But he was very closely followed by not one ambulance. We had the ambulance and then like a car, not a standard car, like, what do they call them? The ones with the big back thing on it, rammed full of equipment. And two more paramedics. And I'm like, well, you know, there's three with the ambulance, there's one on the bike, there's two in the car. There is a limit on how many we can get in the house, but that's how serious it was. So no, I didn't bother with 111. So Pete called 111. His wife needed emergency dentist. Nurse doing the medical assessment tried to tell my wife an opiate overdose needed a doctor's assessment. Well, I do remember saying to one of the district nurses, Pete, who, you know, clearly I made a mistake. District, yes. Nurse, possibly not. I said, like, something about hypoxia. And she said, just a minute. And she got a book out to look it up. I'll admit she was only young, but, you know, about 25. She wasn't 12 on work experience. Like, just a minute. And I thought, OK. And I figured she was getting these notes out. No, it was some kind of the pocket guide to symptoms or something, or in medical terms. And she looked it up and she said, oh, yes, that's right. And I thought, OK, walk away, leave it alone. That's what he was. He was a fast response unit. That's right. Next steps on a crisis. We weren't far off. I think the only thing we were missing was the air ambulance, but there would have been nowhere for the thing to land here. So that's probably why they didn't bother. Was it a ladybird book? No, it was like a first aid guide, but I wouldn't think of somebody who was a doctor or a nurse, you know, unless they're training, which she wasn't, carrying around like a basic guide like that. You might carry around a specialist guide, but not to basic medical terms like hypoxia. That's not that advanced. Mind you, what was she here for, given that he had cancer? Oh, she was changing a plaster on his neck. That was her job. She came in and changed a plaster on his neck. And do you know what? 20 minutes after she left, it fell off. So she really wasn't that great. Oh. There you go. You see, Pete says there are some great Ladybird medical and military books. Oh, that's all right then. Maybe that's what they're doing. Yeah, looking up hypoxia. Yeah. Which, given that he had oxygen on and a heart monitor, you know, I thought would have been high up her list of possibles. Yeah. I had to dumb it down a bit, Pete, to talk to her. I said, he's out of breath. He's having trouble breathing. And she's still looking a bit vacant. was it a dictionary? It was like a medical... It was like the first aid guide to something. And I could see first aid on the front, like a blue cover it had. It was only probably about 3/4 of an inch thick. But it was just like medical terms. So she looked up what that meant and then said, oh, yes. And I thought, you're kidding me. You are kidding me. Because I think if you send a district nurse out, doesn't she have to kind of evaluate whether you need further treatment or not? Not stand there looking up basic medical terms. But that, and she had a friend as well. I don't know who was in charge, but there was two of them. It took two of them to change a plaster. And you wonder why the NHS is in the state it's in. Because they're sending out two district nurses to change a plaster. Why did he have a plaster on? Ah, well, he went in for something to do. Well, he wasn't well, let's put it like that. But it was related to the cancer. They get him in there and find out he's got a mole on his neck. He's had the mole on the neck since he was a kid. Oh, we'll get the plastic surgeon to have a look at that. And I'm thinking, are you kidding? That's tantamount to like, oh, we can get rid of the mole. Oh, it'll look fantastic. And I'm like, I said to Mum, they're moving the deck chairs on the Titanic, because I'm looking at him and he can't breathe. And I'm thinking it'll turn into pneumonia and he'll die. Plastic surgeon comes down. Oh, yes, can do something with that. So that's why they sent it. They did it. So the mole was removed successfully. Looked amazing. I had a couple of stitches in it and they were changing the plaster on this and they were sending out two district nurses to do it every other day. And it fell off after 20 minutes, like I said. And did he get pneumonia and die? Yes, he did. Yes. So clearly I must have subconsciously read the book, know what to expect. Thank God the GP was better. He came out, I think it was Thursday, and kind of looked at Mum and was kind of trying to work out, could she handle the truth? And then he looked at me and I obviously looked like I could handle the truth. So he took me to one side and he said, he's not going to see the week, you know. He said, shall I tell you, Mum? And I said, yeah, she's fine with that. You know, you tell her. But he was spot on. He didn't last the week. He was quite right. Meanwhile, the two nurses turned up again to change the plaster. They weren't doing anything else. That was the laugh of it. We're just changing this plaster. And Mum was sat there rolling her eyes for England. I'm just imagining what that must have cost. I don't know what the price is of, like, to the NHS or of a visit like that. But he didn't need the plastic surgery, much less the plasters changing. Oh, this is why I see these things on the TV and I freak out. So none of us have had ours yet then, have we? None of us. Not even a sniff. Shall we open a book on who's going to get it first? I'm seriously hoping Pete gets first dibs with it. But I wonder who it'll be. Won't be me. They're talking about they've done levels 1, 2, 3, and 4. They're in the middle of doing... I'm in 9. So mine will be sometime around Christmas. We'll stick a bauble on it and wrap some tinsel around them. I could go in wrapped in tinsel, couldn't I? Because it'll be that late. But when are you hoping for yours, Pete? Because they're now talking about prioritising school teachers and nursery teachers in particular because they're still open. I had no idea. Who thought it was a good idea to leave the nurseries open? Wow. I really don't know, but that's what's happening. So who do we think is going to be first? Pete is seriously hoping Pete gets first dibs too. Oh, but Anthony, we've got a race on here because Anthony says, according to Boris, Anthony should have had his by the 15th of February. Oh, just in time for Valentine's Day. The 15th of February is a Monday, isn't it? I do believe it is. Yes, it's a Monday. So really, you know, they shouldn't leave you till the 15th. I think they should see you the first 2 weeks in February. Oh, so it's a dead heat at the moment between Pete and Anthony. But like I said, Pete, if mine comes through, I'll send them your way because I don't want to yet. I wonder, you know, down the line, they're talking about the Pfizer one being checked for this, that and the other. But they've not actually done that with the AstraZeneca one yet. So And there's also, somebody said this morning about the fact that the first 2.6 million doses, etc., and that that was the Pfizer vaccine, but they shouldn't mix the vaccines. But if they haven't got any left of the Pfizer, then they will. Ah, technically, Pete's in too. Shouldn't be long, theoretically, practically. Well, Pete, just don't blink and miss it. You know, the next thing, you'll probably get a date given you in a letter that goes by the Royal Mail and they've got people off sick with COVID and you get it after the appointment. That'll be the next fiasco.
Come on.
Is it true, if you hang around and there are some Pfizer ones left at the end of the day, then the medical staff hanging around who haven't had it can use it, because otherwise it would be wasted. I saw that happening with about five nurses, and it was like they'd had the dose, people had arrived, everybody who'd been in had had it, there were five doses left, and it was, well, you take it, because otherwise it'll be wasted. That might be an idea. Pete should be first. Well, you never know.
I'm going to give us some of this.
Oh, who's a lucky girl? Are you back? Enjoy that. Come on. Look. There we go. Spoiled girl. Did you have fun out there?
Yes.
Yes. Good. Good. Oh, elder relatives for Alex, over 90, not got appointments yet. Wow. And yet, in the next door borough, they're doing the 70-year-olds.
Mummy.
Oh, what's that? Should we do high fives for that? Come on. Dentistic high fives. Show Kim how clever you are. And the left one. Good girl. Oh, Daddy. Right, yes, I've got it and I'm off. I've got it and I'm off. Occasionally happens, but very much a lottery. Well, it's worth hanging around with intent, Pete, isn't it? So, Kim says, are they sending you letters as to when you go to get the vaccine? We've got to find a place to get them yet. Yes, they are. They've opened up, was it Friday? Thursday or Friday? These mass vaccination centres. And you are going to get a letter. It doesn't have an appointment in it. You need to ring to make an appointment, which makes sense because people just wouldn't turn up, wouldn't they? So that's how they're doing it at the moment. But there are calls for it to be made 24 hours, which has positives and negatives. Who wants to go at 2:30 in the morning? There's also like transport problems to get there at 2:30 in the morning, whether it's safe or not. There are people who work nights who may prefer that. So it's all a bit up in the air with that at the moment. At the moment, they're open 8 in the morning till 8 in the evening. And they're supposed to be injecting 4 people a minute. So at that rate, Pete and Anthony should be totally top of the list. Now, Tracy's just had a letter via Royal Mail that was sent sometime in December and arrived on the 7th. The deadline for replying to it with the form filled in was the 28th of December. I'm glad things are no better where you are. And the arrival of the 7th of January. Yeah, I got that bit, Tracy. Well, look how long all your beautiful toys took. And then there's the, dare I mention it, the publisher book. That is really kicking off on the Facebook group. People are saying that they ordered it, I think it was the 23rd, 24th of November, for delivery within the week of the 7th of December. Still no sign of it. So we're fast heading towards 2 months for that. I'm presuming yours hasn't arrived yet. At least that arrived for me. But there was stuff that I had that was missing for days and days and days. Like Kim's card, because we can see when that was posted and we know when it arrived. Jonathan's was as bad. And he only lives 8 miles up the road. Could have strapped it to a pigeon leg and got it here faster. Oh, now Sarah says, haven't heard from them. I ordered it, but they're saying it's been sent with the photo book and it didn't come. And Tracy's still waiting for the Affinity Publisher book. I hope they don't bring out a new version of Affinity Publisher while we're all waiting. It is ridiculous. That fulfilment, they should never have tried that just before Christmas. Because I don't think many people were involved in the fact it was on the way anyway. So if you just didn't know it was an option until after Christmas, that would have been a far better bet. But no, didn't do that at all. Johnny could have thrown it and it would have got there first. That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. We can't quite see Jonathan's building, but not far off. Not far off. It's a bit like trying to get to Mike's mom's. It takes about 25 minutes, doesn't it? up the main road. But actually, as the crow flies, you look on a map, it's about 3.3 miles. You should be able to walk it in that time. But because it's windy and stuff, it's a little bit further. But no, Jonathan, as the crow flies, probably about six miles, 7 miles, if that. But then you've got to go all the way through Manchester, and that's a nightmare. So, yeah, he should have just thrown it out the window. What'll get here first? Affinity Publisher for iPad or the collective vaccines? Oh, Pete, that is quite close, that, because I'm thinking possibly June. They always tend to take advantage of WWDC. It depends whether they're going to do a beta program for that. But they do like to have something new and shiny for WWDC because Apple feature them. It's also very handily placed for the awards, which are also at WWDC. There's another awards in December, but they quite like the one in June. So, ooh, have to see. Ah, now Deb says, her daughter says, hers has been shipped. So we'll see. Keep your eye out. This is getting ridiculous. It is. Affinity Publisher for iPad, definitely. Can I throw something else in then? If Tracy's that confident, then we need something else that's jeopardous. How about Affinity Bridge? Will we see a beta of that before we're all vaccinated? And I think we might. I think we might. I hope we do, given what is happening to me in here. This is going to make a great piece on Friday, isn't it? With Wolfie with a box on his head. You're wondering why Wolfie's got a box on his head, aren't you? I put the slides together in PowerPoint, and I've got the blue branding for After Hours, and I've got the Christmas red branding. Both of them were made from the same Affinity Publisher file. The only difference is the colour behind it. When I'm looking at it in the Mac version of PowerPoint, the slides are fine. Going to the slide masters, and Wolfie, the one that's howling at the moon, on the red slides, the Christmas ones, has got a box on his head. Literally, you can't see the dog's head. It's just square with an eyeball in it. Yeah, I've got weirdness going on there. But I am beating it into submission, aren't I, Mike? In the depth of the group containers, library, user contents, themes, weird named folder area. Kim's going to love this dirty hack. They get dirtier every week, I swear they do. Not because I need them that way, but because that's what you have to do to make stuff work these days. Yes, Affinity Digital Asset Management. I don't know what they'll call it. Probably not Bridge, I wouldn't have thought. They might call it Affinity Link or something. I don't know. We'll see. We will see. Right, so she's had all her food, has she? I've only had a snack.
Yes.
So shall we go off and have our dinner?
That's a plan.
And be back tomorrow with more tales of woe. In fact, tomorrow will be fabulous because we'll have all the news from CES today. That's the Consumer Electronics Show. Oh, it is a complete mine of useless tech. So we'll have a look at what they've announced tomorrow. Things like, you know, what was the most ludicrous thing? I think one was a robot that climbed walls or something. One was a robot that split in two and did two jobs. They're amazing. They are amazing to watch. Oh, I know. A talking plank. One was a talking plank. No joke. It was like an A-lady, but it was a plank of wood. No brackets or anything, just the plank of wood. That was last year's. Don't know whether I ever got made into production, but, you know, some people quite like the idea. Me, less so. Ah, never mind. We'll see what comes out tomorrow. But for the moment, I'm going to say good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.